So, are you growing as a Christian? Evaluating your life? Every year, are you getting closer to the goal that we are required, which is perfection, maturity? Only you and God know it. No one else does. Even spouses, they don't know if their other spouse where they're at. It's between you and God. Well, what about the correlation of life, which that's where one of the focal points I'm at right now, is are you saving for retirement? Well, you got to start somewhere, right? You start by saving for retirement. Most people, well, everyone, when they starts out small, very little. And then as you grow closer to retirement, you're saving more and more and more. Now, to be a part of a good company is fantastic. That will help you substantially with your retirement plan. The company, in return for you helping that company, the company invests in you by giving you more and more, better benefits. Well, that's fantastic. But see, you can see the correlation by God is investing in you, right? God is calling a handful of people. You're one of the handful. Obviously, the correlation falls very short because God is God and money is nothing. But I'll try to make a comparison. Now, again, when you are young and you start your retirement, it's a sacrifice. You got to give up some money now, get rid of that cheddar, stick it aside for later you can make your pizza. But now we are sacrificing, right? We are here today. You're staring at me. I'm staring at you. We are called out of the world. I guarantee almost everyone in the world, what are they doing right now? Sleeping, working, playing. We are not. We are sacrificing. See, God works with families. And most of us have an experience of either you started your family down the path or you are were given the example by your family. If you are chosen, which you are, and if you're of the elect, you are, then you have started your journey. God will invest in you over time. And God picks you up when you need picking up. Just a couple brief parables about, or stories in the Bible about smartly investing and God giving blessings. You have, well, the famous parable in Matthew 25 about the lot, the talent. The wicked servant who was lazy and took the talent and buried it. And what did the master say? Well, you could have put it in the bank. If you stuck it in the bank, it would have at least earned interest. You're just lazy. So that, now we know the concept is a different parable, but the concept of investing in the bank, investing, making money, is right there. Jacob and Rachel, Laban required so much of them. Kind of feel like I've waited 7 years for my wife. But anyhow, flocks, it says in Genesis, I believe 30, flocks became exceedingly prosperous. He had very special animals blessed by God because they bred. They bred a lot. And they had a lot. They had so much and then they took off. But God dumped his blessings on them. And Abram, very rich in livestock, silver, and gold, Genesis 13, verse 1. He was a wealthy man. God gave him because he planned and he followed God. So what does a great company look like, right? Well, a great company, if you work for a great company, they invest in you. Well, how do they invest in you? What are your biggest elements of life? Health, right? That's number one. So a great company would provide health for you when you retire. They would provide help for you and your family for life. What else? Well, they would give you money. They got to give you money, right? You have to have money in retirement, or do you? So they need to recover your retirement so you have enough to survive. And they'll give you advice. They'll provide advisors, right, to let you know where you're at on the spectrum, how you're doing. So the number one company to work for, it was always a slap in my face growing up because where I worked at the time was an investment company, and my window overlooked the number one company in America. So they bought this building, this dome, and they put their name on the dome so you could see it for like 10 miles away. That was our competitor, but it was also the number one ranked company. And all the things I told you, they pay for your retirement. Can you imagine that? Your health? All in retirement paid for? I don't get that, but that's fantastic. Anyhow, our God is so much more. You know, I love the scripture, asking you shall receive. It doesn't say you receive it at once, but you do receive it. If asked right, if asked, and if it's good for you, God will give it to you. It's just amazing. We all have examples in our lives of that. God is our ultimate strategist. God knows everything, and God is helping us. One of the major aspects of retirement is something called a gap analysis. Where do you fall short? The measurement between current assets and the projected required assets in retirement, right? That's the gap. So either at the end of your analysis, you're like big red dot or a green dot. Green means woohoo, you made it. Red means uh-oh. Anyhow, I like to think of that, and that's really focused in my life, right? But Passover is coming up. Passover is the beginning part of every year. Passover is where we evaluate ourselves. That is our gap analysis. That is what we are to do. We are to self-examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. Self-evaluate ourselves. To see where we're at. Do you fall short? God lets you know if you're not making it. God is there to be kind and help us. We ask and He gives us all. So I have 4 points today. The 4 points correlating retirement and planning and life with the kingdom of God and how we should focus our journey to get there. The first is we start out small. We start out small. But the big, beautiful thing in that statement is we start. You're on the path to God, to the kingdom. You, everyone in here, we're all on the path. It is beautiful to know. And some of the members of the church that have been here a longer time, you can look back. You've got history. Some have a lot of history. You look back and you can see where you used to be. You can see your own growth. You can measure it. You know. Oh, do you remember how bad we were in the beginning? How, you know, we didn't know so much. And over time, we have more knowledge, more understanding of the Bible. We know that we fell short way back then, and we could see how merciful God was. So start planning for your retirement now. Now, my theory, this is my theory, Michael's theory. There's two types of retirement. You retire with either a combination or sole focus on one or the other. Knowledge and money. So when you retire, you don't need to... That red dot could be accurate. You just didn't make enough and you're a red dot. That's fine. But you must gain knowledge. There are many people that retire that don't need much money because their knowledge can carry them. They could go out and kill a chicken if they want. Most people in this world don't even know what a chicken is. They just see some frozen thing in the store. But they can survive. They can plant food, extract the food, and actually eat it. That is not something that most people can do. If their vehicle breaks, they can fix it. Again, most people cannot do that. So that's the knowledge. I had a personal example of that all my life. My grandma and grandpa, I always perceived them to be very well off, but they weren't. they were not at all. In the Church of God, they followed God, they gave, they did really well. Actually, you know, my grandpa thought he was great at investing, but truly, the retirement was due to my grandma's expertise. She could make anything out of anything. You know, kind of when you took too much ketchup, she would scrape it back in. But anyhow, they lived based on knowledge way more than money. But they got there. They went from point A to point B. My grandfather, I'll never forget, 1988, he retired, 55 years old, 40 years at a factory. Well, the plaque says 39 and a half years. All at one torturous job that he hated every day. But he did it. He worked and he pushed through. 40 years at the same company. And he had an option because the Chinese company bought him out, which was ironic because they came in and fired the union, which the union is what destroyed my grandpa. They fired him many times. They caused him to have heart attacks. The union was very evil in the state of Illinois. But I've mentioned that before about the closed shop, open shop in Illinois state law. Saved my grandfather's job many a times after he was fired. But anyhow, that's the point. He started, accumulated a little, but the irony, my grandma accumulated so much knowledge on how to run a house. Now, we can see that in our faith, there are examples in the Bible of starting out. If we could turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3. And we know this scripture. Now, again, this scripture is focused on spiritual, but today I just want to focus on the actual words itself and the proof in the Bible that these subjects have been discussed. 1 Corinthians 3, I'll be reading out of the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. However, brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as a spiritual people, but only as to worldly people dominated by human nature, mere infants. In the new life in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Even now you are still not ready. What's that saying? When we start off, this says that these people that have grown in Christ actually didn't grow, and he was rebuking them, saying, hey, I still got to give you milk. But my focus on this scripture is they were given milk. God the Father is perfect and kind and generous and merciful. He gives us milk in the beginning. He allows us to understand what we need to get us to the next level. It is beautiful. It starts in the youth. And some, it starts in the youth and we reject it and then God pulls us back in. But it starts. I don't know anyone that comes into the church and knows everything. I know some people that think they know everything, but that's beside the point. Anyhow, when you come into the church, you're drinking milk. So, just like a baby. And again, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 5:12 is the exact same message. For those, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. Again, the principles, the first principles, the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Again, solid food and milk. It means that in the beginning God gives us milk, and in the middle we should be growing spiritually to get solid food. So, I love throwing out some numbers because they're fascinating, right? Well, what do you need to retire? Let's talk about cash, because I can't put a value on knowledge. It is priceless, and it lacks in this world tremendously. Invest $1,000 at age 35 years old. So you have nothing. You put $1,000 into the stock market. I don't care about what investments, just a general random fund of some type, a growth. And you put away $100 a month. $100 a month. When you retire at age 65 years old, you retire with $200,000. But you're forgetting one little point. That is projected 30 years in the future. $200,000 in the future is not much money. It's going to last you a couple years, and then you have no money. So that's the point. $200,000 in the future is probably the equivalent of $50,000 now. And a lot of people in today's society burn through $50,000 in 1 year. Well, what about $1,000 at age 22? That age has long gone for me, but 22 years old, $1,000, you stick it into the market and you invest $100 a month. Well, at 62, we want to retire at 62, not 65. How much? $600,000. Now that is a lot of money. But of course, at age 22, that's 30, 40 years in the future. So that's 40 years in the future. So that's $600,000 is not going to be a tremendous amount of money 40 years from now. A lot of the folks that have been around for a long time, they remember back in the old days, they get paid like 10 cents an hour. And look now, the complainers out there, they get $15 an hour. $15 versus 10 cents. So you can see money inflates. Okay. We do have a 16-year-old in the church here. What if you're 16 and you start planning beautifully at a young age, but there ain't no way you have $1,000? Let's just say you put $100 away at age 16. And $100, no, you don't have $100 a month at age 16. What about just $75? That's actually a tremendous amount for a 16-year-old, but... And you retire at 62. How much do you have? $750,000. And you're only putting $75 away all your life. That means when you're 60, and let's say you make $100,000 at 60, because inflation over time, right? You're still only putting $75 a month away. On a $100,000 salary, discretionary income per month is like $3,000. Discretionary income means after you paid all your bills, it's your extra cheddar. It's what you get to play around with each month. And out of that, you only put away $75. Okay. Now, let's say we put things together here. I got two more examples, and then we'll move on. $1,000 at age 25. $1,000, 25. And you put $1,300 a month away. $1,300, that's so much. Folks, $1,300 a month is what the government says is standard. $1,300 a month. You stick into a retirement account. That is what the government says is acceptable. So, when you retire at 62, how much money do you have? $5.2 million. Now that's like, I don't know what cheese is better than cheddar, but that's a lot. $5.2 million in 40 years is a grand slam. It's the $100,000 fifth wheel. It's the Ferrari Testarossa or the Unicorn 1965 and a half, 64 and a half Mustang, whatever you want to call it. It is the grand finale, right? $5.2 million is so much money. Well, what if you're 35 years old and you just pick up the ticket, $1,000 down. That's all you have right now is $1,000. And you do put the $1,300 away. $1,300 a month, which is about $18,000 a year. Government allows $19,000. Next year it'll be $19,500. They bump it up by $500 per year. When you retire, $2.4 million. Again, that's going to buy you a lot of Depends diapers, folks. That is beautiful. Okay? $2.4 million. I will advance beyond my $2 Chuck wine, and I might buy like an $8 bottle of wine. Right? Anyhow, so that's just dramatic, right? But those numbers are very real. Very real numbers. So that's all focused on planning. Focus, get there. Point number two, measurable growth each year. At the Passover, we examine ourselves and we have better grown. We have better grown from year over year because that's why we're here. To go closer to God. And we can't get closer to God if we don't grow, right? If he invests in you, he requires a return back, period. If you invest a dollar in the market, don't you expect to get something more than a dollar back? Absolutely. So why doesn't God want that of us, right? A tree. I just planted a new tree. I'm super excited. I went outside and smelled it myself. And it's so powerful. All the dog stuff all around my house, which the whole backyard is covered. The tree is so powerful, I can even smell it. So I'm like, and then you step away and you smell the dogs. Back to the orange. It's an orange tree. If that orange tree grows and it does not bear fruit, what do you think I'm going to do with it? I'm going to dig it up, throw it away, probably burn it on purpose, and put another tree in, right, that actually produces fruit. I invest in that tree. I want that tree to grow. Do you know what your returns were last year? What were your returns? I know what my stock market return was last year in my 401k, my retirement account. It was zero. Zero. I invested, I put money in, the market went up, it was up 20%. And then December 31st, I look, zero. Now, the market had a correction, I don't really care. Zero was my growth. But in your spiritual life, do you know what your growth is? Only you and God knows. Well, we read 1 Corinthians, we read Hebrews, where it says you're in milk. The church had a need for milk and not solid foods. They were not growing. And that is in the Bible, and it tells us that for an example. Well, how do you know you're doing well? All retirement accounts have benchmarks. All retirement accounts. They tell you, yes, no, how you doing? You're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be here. According to your risk, you're here. So we should have a benchmark, and we do. We have the Bible. We have brothers and sisters in Christ to help us get to the next level. We can see the elders in the church are to be examples to us, right? We are to grow together, and we are to be able to measure that. Our children grow, right? Everyone in here, I don't know, do you have a line on your house where it shows your kids growing from year to year? Measurable growth. We can see that growth in our children. So, you don't need to turn there, but Passover is coming up, and these are the scriptures we read at Passover. 1 Corinthians 13:5 it says, test yourself. Test yourself. Know where you're at. And that is 1 Corinthians 5. And then the scripture we read every year, 1 Corinthians 11:28. 11:28. Passover is coming. The new year is almost here. Right? The new year is almost here. Examine yourself. That's what we are to do. Examine yourself to see how we're doing. Point three, setbacks. You will have setbacks. But when you have setbacks, there is a perfect correlation between the stock market and God. One of the only. When you have setbacks in the stock market, what do? Invest more. You don't pull out, you stick it in. You stick more in, more. Whatever you can afford reasonably. Well, when you have a setback in life, you go to God. You invest more in God, right? This world, when you see them become religious, it's usually because their life has turned to like dog manure or cow manure, I guess. Right? That's the only time they go to God and pray. When there's a calamity in this world, that's when you see the church is filled, right? Even the world knows to go to God when they're completely failed. So, the point is, you need to go to God. We need to go to God and invest more in God when our life turns upside down. Trials. What are trials there for? To provoke us to the next level. God obviously has something he wants us to learn. And obviously we didn't learn it. And we didn't self-examine ourselves to figure it out, to correct it before God corrects it for us. We are in a trial. And it will bring us closer to God if we follow God. And if we could, turn to Acts 14, please. Acts 14, verse 22. Acts 14, verse 22. Acts 14, 22. 14, verse 22. Strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhort them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We are going to the main goal, which is the kingdom of God. You will go through tribulations. You have to. That's where prosperity preaching is completely absurd. There is no such thing as a straight line up. It's just not. Now, I don't think many folks can remember this. I know I only read it by textbook, but here is a summary of the last 100 years in the stock market. 1929, market crash. 1987, market crash. I remember where I was in 1987. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. Pensacola. I remember my dad and my mom, who had no investable securities, so they didn't really care. But they were staring at the TV, like a 13-inch black and white at the hotel, the Flamingo Hotel. I mean, it probably cost like $5 a night, if you ask me. But, you know, my cereal was, my stand was the sink. I'd put it in the sink, and I'd eat. Family of six in one hotel room? Anyhow, so we were there, and I remember my mom and dad turning on the TV, and we watched the stock market crash. 1987. And again, I didn't know anything. I just thought the world was going to end. And then I turned back to my bowl of cereal, so life is good. The year 2000. Does anyone remember this? The year 2000, the world's going to crash. Well, the stock market, the NASDAQ, which is technology, went down 75%. So if you had $1,000, you had $250 after that, or $2,500. Can you imagine after hard work, $1,000, $250, yeah, $250. Well, that's sad. Well, I'm going to pull that money and stick it under my mattress. Nope. Don't do it. 2008. What happened in 2000? We were all here for this one. A lot of people watched as calamity came. I'll never forget this company called Lehman Brothers. It was the cream of the crop, the elite, the most arrogant nation, the arrogant company. They only took the elite of the world, so obviously I never worked there. But they were a $55 billion company with $4.6 billion net income. Within a couple months, bankrupt. Completely bankrupt. The company sold for zero. I got my inheritance from my grandpa. Right? My grandpa gave the money. My grandma gave more money. How's that possible? My brother invested my grandma's money and my grandpa invested my grandpa's money. But guess what I have in my stock portfolio? Millennial Cell, bankrupt company worth 0.00. I've got Enron, 0.00. I've got three companies. I don't even know what they are. 0.00, 0.00, 0.00. I have to pay to get rid of the stock. I've got 10,000 shares at 0.00. They went defunct, all of them. So it's funny, but I keep them in my portfolio to remind me to be more prudent. Anyhow, so I do make a strong recommendation when the world seems like it's collapsing, invest more. That has boded very well for me. Because what else can you do? If you take it and run, by the time you take it and run, you turn around, it'll be back. So, look at David. David made so many mistakes, and he went down. But what did he do? Invested in God and went to God, and he came back. Have you noticed that they come back a lot stronger than they were before? They get pushed down, they come back. Just like the stock market from 1900 to now. It's like this. It's remarkable. It's tremendous. And that's a humanly example. God is so much more. Well, what about Job? Oh, I take so much comfort in this. The tragedy in Job's life, I don't think I could bear. Well, I cannot bear. It is tremendous. He lost his family, his wealth, his retirement, everything gone, all in one swoop. But then at the end, he got everything back and an even more blessed life. Now, what does this tell you? When you have setbacks, invest in God. What does that mean? It means you need to prepare for correction. You need to prepare for a market downturn. You need to prepare for your life going down and very trying times put upon you. It's going to happen. I know that some of you get the magazine. I was going to talk about an article, but then it was in the Discern magazine. So this is the brand new Discern magazine. I recommend that if you're interested in financial stability or planning, and you know who's quoted in here? This guy named Dave Ramsey, they quoted in here. So, and it's written by a female. So, anyhow, six biblical personal financial principles. And I tell you, I read them, and you know what? Spot on. In our church, in the Church of God, we're starting to get more magazines published. More things are coming. And they're pretty good. They are focused on helping us. I know I read all of this. Now my brain kind of shuts off after the first paragraph, but I started at least. You know, I go through it, I read the highlights, and then... But the magazines are really doing well. If you don't get them or don't have access to them, they're free. So I would recommend applying for them. The fourth and final point. Obtain your goal. Obtain your goal. A goal. Well, what is a goal? My 17-year-old son would say, well, duh, a goal is in soccer when you score. Because that's all he cares about in life. And I remember when I was 17 and I looked completely ripped from head to toe, but yet a toothpick. I'm like, well, that's my son. But a goal, the object of a person's ambition or effort, an aim or a desired result. You have to have goals. You just have to, in your spiritual life and in your financial life. There are many scriptures in the Bible, and if you have this and look at it, it points out the scriptures that tell you, you need to be prudent. It says about debt. It applies, well, what if I want to spend a little money? Okay, debt, it's covered in the Bible. Everything is covered in the Bible. But this in particular article talks about the points of what to do and what not to do. Entire working life boils down to the day you breathe your last breath of corporate America. I retired. I'm done. I don't need to do anything anymore. I tell you, I look forward to that day because I pray that I'm prepared. I have a goal. I have a number in my head. I, Michael Watts, need X dollars in my account and a wife named Ceci to be surviving in life. And the knowledge of how to survive, remember I told you there's two points. You either need money or knowledge. I don't have the knowledge to retire. I can grow stuff, but I don't know how to prepare it. I can do things. I don't know how to fix things. That's where my wife is going to come in. She's going to help me with so much of that. But combined together, God is very merciful and he is helping us. So, what is that magic number in your head? You need something. Some that have more knowledge need a very low number. Social Security? I call it social insecurity. There are some in here that will never see Social Security, ever. You just won't. You can't count on it. It won't be there. It's in debt substantially, so you can forget about it as a retirement account. It won't be there. our entire human life boils down to, did you seek first the kingdom of God? Did you find it? Your entire life. Can you? It's just remarkable to think God gives you everything in here. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. The Bible is written to where a child can understand it. It says, don't do this, do this. It's the perfect instruction manual. Uncertainty, faith. See, uncertainty in the financial markets, have faith. Be prudent, and it will be taken care of. Retirement requires you to know things, to build. You need to know how to obtain assets, and you need to know how to spend. It's a double-edged sword. You must have both. You cannot go into retirement and spend, 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 spend. Well, unless you're 25 years old and you built up so much cheddar that it's going to rot before you eat it. You know, my old boss used to say, Michael, have fun now. There's no U-Hauls in heaven. You can't take it with you. Go have fun. So, but anyhow, but the U-Haul can get you pretty far. God tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. It's put in simple terms for us. One, follow God. Follow the example. Trust in God. You're going to fail. He will pick you up. Do not worry. I don't know how many times I look at the scripture in 1 Peter 5:7. Do not worry. Do not worry. And then when I'm worrying, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to worry. Stay the course. There is one path. If anyone tells you there's another path, they're trying to sell you something. There's one path. That's it. And it is narrow. If a billion people are doing it, generally, that's not the right path. You're going to mess up. You must repent. You must go to God and say, I'm sorry. You must be humble. You must humble yourself. Because I guarantee if you do not humble yourself, you will be humbled. One way or the other, you will be humbled. You must help others. You have to. That's in here as well. You've got to give money, food to others. Not a lot, but you must help other people. It's a requirement. And if you do these things, you're going to make it. Of course, this is such high level. You know that you must read, study, meditate, and prayer. All of it's required. So, conclusion. Please turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. I had to really cut out a lot of stuff because I love talking about retirement structure. Luke 18. Some of you are a lot quicker turning than me. Luke 18, verse 29. Verse 29. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parent or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Everyone in here knows their own situation. You know what you have done. I have no one left. I have no family. My grandparents, my parents, my siblings, gone. Either spiritually or they're dead in Christ. I have no one. Or do I? Because blood, okay, I don't have any. But look around. What are you? You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are examples to me, and I try to be an example to you because we rely on each other. That's all we have is God and each other. We are a family. That's what families do. And no, your retirement plan can't be to get your kids off to college so they can pay for you when you retire. That doesn't work anymore. Kids these days are just, they don't follow. And an inheritance, there's over $1 trillion in the next few years going to be transferred from the old people to the young people. I don't know how else to say it, but that's pretty to the point. I ain't getting any of it. But you can't desire a large settlement or some miraculous stock that takes off. You know, you buy a penny stock and they cure cancer and all of a sudden you're a billionaire. Those things don't work. The last scripture is 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. And we'll just read 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Ah, this is so encouraging. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So, remember that day when you take your last breath of the stale smell of corporate America cubicles and people baking things that smell really bad? That day will be over because you retire. That's your last breath of that. But can you imagine opening your eyes and you are at the kingdom of God? The feeling you're going to have? Because we know that we are at certain levels in the kingdom of God depending upon your reward. One, being in the kingdom of God, the first resurrection is everything. But there are rewards for how good you were, how gracious you were, how you followed the Bible, how you helped others, that puts you where in the kingdom of God. Can you imagine sacrificing now for eternal life and helping so many people, the orphans, the widows, and being where you're at in the kingdom? The feeling you will have? The paying off of hard work, dedication, and sacrifice. Staying the course. Because we will be retiring with God.